Thank you, Brother Ricky. It's a wonderful privilege to be back in the house of the Lord with all of you. Certainly have enjoyed the day. Thoroughly enjoyed the meal after the morning service. Great cooking like that reminded me of a farmer that was invited to go to a very wealthy man's home for a meal. And that farmer had never seen the likes of such food in all of his life. And he just ate till he could eat no more. And upon leaving that beautiful home, he remarked to the host how grateful he was. And he used the two biggest words he knew. He said, "I enjoyed myself rhinocerously and had an elephant of a time." Amen. That's the way I feel about that meal today. I enjoyed myself rhinocerously, and I had an elephant of a time. It was a great meal, wasn't it? And then to come back this afternoon and hear such wonderful preaching, I just fell in love with Brother Godby. The verse of Scripture came to my mind when I listened to him preach so wonderfully. The Bible said concerning Daniel, "Now there was an excellent spirit in him." And I think those words define Brother Godby. An excellent spirit. And it's just a privilege to be here with all of you. And it's an honor of ours to be here with Brother and Sister L.D. Savage. And may I say to you home people that perhaps you've not been to the deep south where I come from, or even to the west where I pastored for a number of years, Brother Lindsey Savage is a legend in his own time. And there's only one LD left now. Brother LD Moore has passed on, but we've still got Brother LD Savage. And we revere and respect him. He's preached a number of camp meetings in our area through the years, and he is just a notable man. And you're honored to have him as your senior pastor. And we are just honored to be in their home. And as I said earlier, it's just great to be with Ricky and Christy. Through the years, Brother Ricky preached for us. I've lost count of how many times he's preached for us. And just always did a remarkable job. And we thank the Lord for all the good things he's doing for us. And we're looking forward to a great revival. Things like this are always a great challenge to me. After having pastored and been in full-time ministry for almost 30 years now, and my last tenure was 13 years there in Texarkana. I was pastoring my first church when I was just 19 years old back in 1985, and the ministry has been my life. But I'm always intrigued by an opportunity to go to another church and to wait and see what the Lord would have me to say. And at a recent prayer meeting, the Lord moved on my dad to come over and pray for me. And as he was praying, and while he was praying, he prayed that God would visit us in this revival with the spirit of discernment. And I felt the Spirit of God check me at that point. And so I come to you especially anxious, because I want to hear what God has got to say. And I come with an open heart here tonight, because I hope that some way, somehow, that something I say will define you to a point that you have to admit within yourself, that had to be God. Hallelujah. Oh, could you just love the Lord right now? Oh, praise God. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. Thank you for your financial consideration. God bless you for your giving. Chapter 3 of Mark. Stand, if you would, please, to honor the reading of the Word. Let's begin in verse 1, please. Mark 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And may the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Chapter 3 and verse 1 again is our scripture text, speaking of Jesus. And He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. If the Lord would stand by me tonight, I want to preach to you this message entitled, On the Other Hand. There's something about masculine nature. There's something about being a father, a husband, something about fulfilling your role as a parent, something about being under that load of responsibility of the head of the home. You like to have things in hand. You want to have things in your grasp. You want to have things within your control. Here I have read to you tonight of a man who had lost his grip. Something had happened in his life, and he felt life slipping through his hand, if you will. There were some things that he had held closely. There were some things that for a time remained intact. You see, he was able to reach, he was able to claim, he was able to grasp. He was able to control. And then something happened in his life and he lost his grip. I want to preach to you tonight, sir. I want to preach to you tonight, ma'am, that because of some unforeseen circumstance, because of some crisis that has come into your life, because something that was unavoidable, because of something that if you could, you would have escaped it. But nevertheless, it's come into your life. And because of that, in some area of your life, you have lost your grip. In some area of your life, be it spiritually, be it emotionally, I do not know if it may be morally or monetarily or somewhere in your life, if you would only be honest with the preacher man, you feel yourself slipping and you have lost your grip. The Bible says there was a man. Here is a person. Here is an individual, a particular person that had feelings, that had emotions, that knew what it was to suffer loss, that suffered harm. He had come to a place that something had happened in his life and it had brought about failure. But nevertheless, even though his feelings at times had been very low and failure had brought him discouragement, I want to say I appreciate this nameless man, that even though he perhaps is nameless, to me is most notable, because even though his feelings at times had been very depressed, most likely, and oftentimes, amen, because of what he experienced, failure had discouraged him, but let's chalk this up for this guy. He did have faith because he was in the house of God on the Sabbath day. Amen. And so I want to say to you, I appreciate you for being here. I know at times you've come low, but nevertheless you come right on. Hallelujah. There may have been times when your shout was not what it had been in the past, but nevertheless you're still here. I want to tell you I appreciate you for coming. Amen. Even though you at times came when you really didn't feel like coming, you come right on. For you see, this was a wounded man. Something had wounded him. Something had hurt him, but he nevertheless come right on to the house of God, even though something had wounded him. It was not a mortal wound. It was not something that took his life. It took part of his life. Would you help me while I preach? And so this wound that come to him, it withered him. Something became dried up. It was his hand. The idea of this word withered means sapless. It means without life. His hand dried up. But I don't want to talk tonight about being wounded. I don't want to talk tonight simply about being withered. What I want to talk about is being whole. Because here's a man that come wounded. Here's a man that come withered, but he left whole. And I want to preach to you tonight, that is the message of the gospel. Christ has come to make man whole. Christ has come to renew. Christ has come to restore. Christ has come to revive. Christ has come to replenish. Christ has come to give life again. And something in your life may have wounded you, and it may have withered you, but you can leave whole tonight. You can leave complete. You can leave again with things in control, and you can get your grip back. Can you say amen? Here is a condition that was obvious. Notice that. A condition that was obvious. His hand was withered, to fade, to become sapless, to become dry. His handicap defined him. He was known as the man with the withered hand. I find too often that among us, there are things that happen. And because we will not pray through about them, they become the defining moment of our life. We always revert back to that. It in our life becomes a point of reference. We measure time by that incident that happened in our life. When someone says, how long has it been since this happened or that happened? How long have you lived here? How long have you had this home or had this automobile? Rather than give a distinct answer, you refer back to a loss in your life. You refer back to a tragedy in your life. And you measure everything by that one thing that happened in your life, and it defines you, and you constantly go back to that. Oh, please help me, Lord. You see, the man here that was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, he had suffered something that defined him. His handicap marked him. His handicap defined his life until everyone referred to him by that handicap. Notice the control he had lost. I contend that it was a control he had lost because the Bible said he had his hand withered. If you'll read Luke on this text with the eye of a physician, he records something that Mark does not include. For Luke, in the text, with the eye of a physician, he notes more carefully and said concerning this man with the withered hand, and Luke records it this way, the man who had his right hand withered. Jewish tradition teaches us that this man was a stonemason. And this withered hand that he bore was not congenital. He was born with two perfectly whole hands. He was born complete. He was born intact. He was born whole. But Jewish tradition says perhaps an accident, something happened, and it withered his hand. I wonder, was it something that happened while he was at work? Was he wounded when he went to his task? Was he on a scaffold laying stone on a wall, and someone above him, because of carelessness, because of their recklessness, amen, did something fall? Did something dislodge him? Did something cause him to lose his footing, and did he fall? And thus was his hand withered. Are you going to help me while I preach? I wonder if this man, amen, perhaps was tempted to go through life and play this blame game and constantly always revert back to the day that this accident happened. and say, you know, I really shouldn't be this way. I don't deserve this. This should not have happened to me. This is something that I should have never experienced. Are you tempted to do the same tonight? Do you feel yourself a victim of circumstance? Do you say, amen, within yourself that you've been treated unjustly? You've been taken advantage of. You've been abused. And because of that, there's something that is wounded in your life. And thus, because you're wounded, you've become withered. Oh, I need to preach to you. I wonder, was he wounded in his work? And very honestly, tragically, I must confess that even we as workers in the Lord, at times we'll find ourselves wounded. Yes, we will. But may I say to the ministry and say to us all that I find ourselves in Christian service, be it you that fulfill the task of a teacher or a preacher or a lay member in the church and you fill some office and you're faithful to bear your responsibility and shoulder your load and you're faithful to your task, there will be wounds. But may I say, just guard yourself against being withered. Amen. I want you to notice something here in our reading, please. I want you to notice that there was a man with a withered hand. There was a man whose hand had become sapless. It had become dry. It had become lifeless. Simply said, the blood ceased to flow and it dried up. But I wonder who should we pity most? This man with a withered hand? Or rather these Pharisees with withered hearts? Oh, help me, Lord. I wonder who should we pity most? The man who has lost his grip? Or rather these Pharisees that sit stoically, cold and callous and cynical, amen, that sit there in the hardness of their hearts? And perhaps you're that one. You're the one that your heart has become hard. Oh, I need the Lord to help me. Amen. Maybe he had been wounded in his work. Or maybe there had been a call to war. And he went to defend his country. He went to stand for what he believed in. He went to fight for what he felt like was true. He went to fight for freedom. And someone with a sword, someone with a battle axe, had made a very, very near miss. And now his hand is withered. And yes, sometimes, even in the battle, we're gonna get wounded. Yes, the control that he lost. But think not only about the control that he had lost, but the confusion of his life. At times, perhaps, he was tempted to feel like that God had treated him unfairly, that God had treated him unjustly, that God had somehow overlooked him as if he should have deserved better. Am I preaching to someone tonight? You've had that pity party. You've sat around and felt like, well, you know, if God really loved me, he would not have allowed this to happen. If God really cared for me, he would have stopped this. He would have foreseen it. He would have foresaw it. And he would have prohibited such heartache from coming into my life. Am I preaching to someone? You've been wounded. And because you've been wounded, you're withered in your spirit. I remember some time ago reading of a soldier that stepped on a landmine. His leg was almost completely blown off, and they had to amputate at the knee. He was brought home. There was much fanfare and much parade in the little hometown when he returned. The reporter began her interview with this, and she said, I want to talk to you about this leg that you lost. Immediately he raised up his hand and he said, I didn't lose it. I gave it. Amen.
Oh, if you go through life and you're constantly keeping record of every subtraction, if you're always keeping a tally on what it's cost you, if you're always keeping note of what someone said, of every little hurt, of every little aggravation, of every little thing that needles you, of every little thing that bothers you, you'll always be wounded and you'll be withered. But when you've gave it all, it doesn't matter, because everything belongs to Him. Everything belongs to the Lord. It's all His. Can you give the Lord praise tonight?
Amen. We can always spend time blaming someone for what's going on in our world. And we find ourselves in a state of confusion, playing this blame game and thinking about what if. What if this had not happened? What if this had not taken place? What if this had not transpired in my life? If. And the more we blame, the more anger it fosters, the more resentment that smolters. And one man said, bitterness is like burning down your own house just to get rid of a rat. And the one you're hurting the most is yourself. Reminds me of a guy that was reading one of those do-it-yourself magazines. And he noted there that there was a place that you could order instructions of how to build a birdhouse. So he was a bit intrigued with that. So he sent off to this mail order catalog for instructions on building a birdhouse. He had a difficult time trying to get this birdhouse built according to the plans that he received in the mail. And so he sent a letter back to them and said, I built that birdhouse according to those stupid plans you mailed me. And he said, and not only is it much too big, but it keeps blowing out of the tree. Signed, Unhappy. The mail order catalog sent him a response back and said, Dear Unhappy, we're sorry about the mix-up. We accidentally sent you a sailboat blueprint. But if you think you're unhappy, you should read the letter we got from the guy who was in the yacht club. You see, we always got somebody else to blame for things. Come on here now. And it doesn't fix anything at all, does it? Blaming people is just a waste of time. No matter how much fault you find with your circumstances, no matter how much fault you find with one another, irregardless of the blame that you put on someone else, it will not change them. It will not change you. The blame causes you to take your focus, amen, off of Christ. Anybody want to say amen? You never succeed by blaming others. I read once of a college boy that went to sleep. While he was asleep, some of his fellow students took Limburger cheese and smeared it underneath his nose. When he woke up, he said, This room stinks. He got up and run out into the hall of the college dorm, and he said, This hall stinks. He run outside, and he said, The world stinks. Amen. You see, that's what happens when you play the blame game. And you can sit around in church and point your finger at somebody else, amen, and nurse that wounded hand. Anybody want to help me while I preach? Amen. You can sit around and nurse your wounded feelings and talk about what somebody said and talk about how you got done wrong. Or either you can come to the house of God and, wounded though you may be, decide that you're going to worship and decide you're going to praise God and give Him honor and glory and worship Him in the house. Amen. Oh,
There was a condition that was obvious. But look at our story here. There was a challenge to be obeyed. The wonderful thing about this story that so inspires my heart is that though this man's hand was withered, his hearing was not affected. Did you get what I just said? Why is it that because you've been wounded, you feel like that excuses you from hearing what God has got to say to you? Why is it because you've been wounded, you think that you are exempt from what God is saying to you? Oh, but I love this so, that even though this man's hand was withered, amen, it did not affect his hearing. I want to guard myself. I want to be careful. I do not want to allow the things that happen around me to cause me to become deaf to the word of the Lord. It was his hand. It was not his hearing, praise God. Jesus makes to him an approach that was direct. He saith unto the man. He spoke to him distinctly and definitely. He spoke to him pointedly and personally. Jesus wants to deal with you that are hurting. I believe that the Holy Ghost, he knows exactly the pain you're going through. He knows exactly what you're suffering right now. And I believe it is the desire of Almighty God to speak to you right where you're at and deal with you, amen, with your emotions and your feelings, and deal with you with what you're experiencing in your life. And may I say this humbly but candidly, the hurt that you have experienced does not exempt you from the call of Christ. It does not mean that you can take a vacation. It does not mean that you can sign off and sit on your pew and say, let somebody else do it. You may be wounded and you may feel withered in your spirit, but you are in the Lord's house and He has come to heal. And I cannot help but believe if you will hear, you will hear the voice of Christ, and He will say something to you. He'll put some mail in your box. He'll give you a word of hope. He'll give you a word of help. He'll give you a word of healing. He'll say something to you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. There was an approach that was direct. I feel like that perhaps this man felt he was a spectacle. He's been singled out. After all, everybody knew who he was. And then now to go to the house of the Lord and Jesus to point him out. There was an approach that was direct. There was an authority that was divine. What Jesus said took precedent over everything else that was going on in His world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I just want to remind you. I just want to rehearse it in your thinking. No matter what you may have suffered, what Jesus says takes precedent over everything else going on in your world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I felt the Lord check me right there. I'm going to run that by you again. There's been heartache. There's been losses. There's been disappointments. And you've known crosses. Amen. There's been times when you've hurt. There's been times when you've been low. Your footsteps have been slow. There's been times when you feel like you were on the mountain. And then there's times when the mountain's been on you. There's been times when you've had to bear responsibility and shoulder the load, and you felt like, God, I can't take anymore. And the reason why you kept right on pushing, and and the reason why you kept right on plowing, and the reason you labored in the midst of toil, is because His Word took precedent over everything that was going on around you. You knew that you had the call. You knew you had heard His command, and you could not help but obey the voice of the Lord. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. For you that have read Borum, you perhaps understand, and I hope you agree, that when John Broadbanks is referred to by F.W. Borum, when Borum refers to Broadbanks, he is speaking concerning his alter ego. He does not want to speak concerning himself, so he calls himself Broadbanks. And he writes a lot about Broadbanks. Broadbanks is a neighboring pastor, is the way he depicts him. But actually, it's Borum himself talking. And he and Broadbanks have met. He's come from his pastorship, and he's met Broadbanks at Silver Stream, where Broadbanks pastors, so he says. And Broadbanks says these words. He said, "Sometimes I feel like just sitting down, as if to give up, as if to resign, as if to throw in the towel, run up the white flag, and quit." But Broadbanks says, "No, we're not here to sit down. There'll be time to sit down when it's all over." And so I want to preach to somebody here tonight. You may have been wounded, but the call of Christ takes precedent over everything that's going on in your world. You see, there was a condition that was obvious. There was a challenge to be obeyed. And now there was a command that was omnipotent. Jesus said to the man that had the withered hand, "Stand forth." Now, wait a minute. He could not at this point stretch forth, but he could stand forth. Hallelujah. I'm just simply preaching to you tonight. Do what you can do. If you believe it, stand for it. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If you believe it, stand for it. And that's what that man done. He just stood. And having done all, stand therefore. Hey, you can do that, don't you? Amen. Do you believe in wholeness? Stand for it. Do you believe in righteousness? Stand for it. Are you going to stand by the man of God when the thick gets thin? Are you going to stand by the man of God when the hard times come? I need a church that'll just stand. I need a church that won't bend, that won't budge, that won't bow, that won't burn. I'm looking for a church that'll stand. You can do that, can't you? You can stand. Oh, hallelujah. Stand. How immediate was his response? How instantaneous was the remedy? Jesus first just asked him to do what he could do. And the one thing he could do was stand. You can do that tonight. And now, having stood, Jesus said, "Stretch forth thine hand." And immediately, he stretched it out. And it was as whole as the other. He came with one, and he left with two. Oh, hallelujah. Can you see him the next day on the street? He's got his satchel of tools, and he's headed to work. He meets some of those former fellow workmen, and they said, they stutter and they stammer in disbelief, and they say, You're the guy back so-and-so, such-and-such, that had the withered hand. What happened to you?" He smiles gladly and says, "I went to church yesterday, and Jesus worked it out." Amen.
The Lord told me to stand, and I stood, and after I stood, He told me to stretch it out, and I stretched it out. The blood began to flow again. The muscles received strength. The sinew took on strength. Hallelujah. And I stretched it out. I want to tell you, bring your heartache, bring your hurt to Jesus. Let the blood flow again, and let Jesus work it out. I said, let Jesus work it out. Let the Lord work it out. Let the Lord heal it. Let the Lord make it whole. Hey, Jesus can work it out. I said, Jesus can work it out. Let's stand and give the Lord praise and glory all over the house. While they get us a song, come on, let's give Him praise and glory. He came hurt. He came handicapped. He left healed. And that is exactly what Christ wants to do for you tonight. You may be wounded. You may have come withered. But by His grace, you can leave whole tonight. I just want to tell somebody, Jesus can work it out. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. While they get us a song, Father, I know you're here tonight to work in hearts. I know you're here tonight, oh God, to move in lives. Such difficulty. Oh, hallelujah. Grief, loss, whatever tragedy it is that they faced. Only by your grace, only by your strength, you can work it out. Hallelujah. Could we lift our hands and honor the presence of the Lord all over the house? I want to be careful. I want to be cautious. I want to give the Spirit leeway in this service. Jesus can work it out. It may be withered. It may be sapless. It may be dry. Jesus can work it out. While Sister Christy sings, you want to be the first to step out and say, that's precisely, Brother MacDonald, what I need the Lord to do. I'm coming tonight because I want Him to work it out. I want you to come on right now. Hallelujah. Oh. The Lord knows what you need. The Lord knows what you're facing. Heaven understands. On the other hand, things are good on one side, but then on the other hand, why from one perspective everything looks good, but then on the other hand, you've lost your grip. Some things have slipped. And you need the Lord to heal that. I want you to come on right now. Hallelujah. Thank God for these that have come. Let's gather in and pray with these. Bring your needs to the altar. Let's come and talk to God about the things on the other hand. Hallelujah.